Today's Wiggle Room recap of Survivor is sponsored by Valor. Mondays on the CW, they're bringing you to the front line of drama with the new military series Valor. Two special ops helicopter pilots are breaking boundaries and defying all expectations. Their bravery in the face of impossible odds earned them the Distinguished Flying Cross for Valor. But together, they're finding out that truth is the first casualty of war. During their last mission, something went wrong, something no one's talking about, and when they went into the combat zone, not everybody came back. So now they have secrets, but they're also patriots and refuse to leave any man behind. What would you do if you had to break the rules to do what was right? Would you stay grounded and step in line or go to any lengths to learn the truth? They'll share secrets, go on clandestine missions, risk life and limb with only each other to depend on. How close would you get to the only person who really knows you? It's the explosive new drama that pushes the boundaries between military discipline and human nature. The new series that's right on target, Valor. New episodes Mondays at 9, 8 Central after the all-new episodes of Supergirl, only on the Charlie Whiskey. That's the CW.
Check it out.
Josh.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. We're back. Wiggle Room, week two.
Week two. And I would say strong two, because it's not week. I mean, it's a week in terms of time.
Right.
But strong Wiggle Room is what I'm trying to say here.
And also,
we've got a good one coming
yes.
up.
Yes. Do you want to call it Wiggle Room number two in honor of...
No, come on.
There's been a lot of that this week.
Yeah, let's keep the... I don't know. We don't have to get too scatological here.
Don't clutch your pearls now, Wiggler. How many hours of podcasting have I done with you?
A lot. But I feel like you've gotten this out of your system, hopefully, by your final podcast of the week. I wasn't trying to do anything there, I swear.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Let's try to class this up. We got a guest coming in today.
We've got a guest coming in. No, I'm so excited about this. We've announced it already that we have been opening up the Wiggle Room this season. We're going to be bringing guests in this season, and couldn't have asked for a better guest to kick things off. Especially, I love Survivor Ko Rong, one of my favorite recent seasons. And if we're going to bring a Ko Ronger into the Wiggle Room, I'm just glad we're not starting off with Nick Majorano. So, you know, anybody else would have been fantastic. But of course, we've got the great Aubrey Bracco in here.
Yes, Aubrey. Fresh off the Match Game. How are you, Aubrey?
I'm great. And I guess if you're bringing a co-wronger in, you've got the number two. So second place and number two. Here I am.
Wow.
Perfect.
Oh, it's perfect. Yeah. It really is just writing itself today. I think maybe we just need to lean into it.
Yeah. Josh, I think you wasted your Darnell interview in First One Out. I feel like that this would have been the week to get
Oh, my
him.
Gosh.
Yeah, wow, that ended up being eerily prescient that we had Darnell in First One Out talking about the dreaded Aqua Dump. Who knew that just one episode later it was going to be so important to the narrative? But there it is. Survivor has a funny way of working out.
Okay.
Yes.
Aubrey, you have gone through a lot of recent life changes. Could you update everybody on what you've been up to?
Sure. So I moved to Los Angeles. I am kind of in the process of getting my stuff together. I've been between Airbnbs and it's been crazy, but I am so psyched to be here and I've mastered the left turn. So I feel like I'm on the up and up.
Okay.
The left turn's hard. The left turn is underrated in terms of its difficulty.
I will
go out of my way to avoid the left turn if I can. Like, I'll take a longer route that's all rights if I have to.
Wait, no, the left turn, are there no left turns in the Boston area?
I think what it is we have more green arrows and there are less roads where you have to take a left turn across multiple lanes of traffic. So here they'll just say, okay, take a left turn. Here are four lanes of traffic. Have fun being Frogger for a day. Like, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. It's so much more aggressive.
Yeah.
But it's a little more tame in New England.
New England has lots of roundabouts.
And round Howards.
Yeah. Rotaries. Come on.
Yeah, rotaries. Sorry. I'm a New Yorker. I don't really know much about the roundabout. I just know from Emily that the roundabout is a thing, but I guess I should call it a rotary. I apologize.
Okay. My mom is from New York and she would not go through rotaries She learned to drive when she was 30 for about until like 3 years ago. She won't go in them. So it's fun driving with her.
Okay. Well, I feel like that there's a survivor metaphor in here somewhere in terms of making a left turn across four lanes of traffic or being in the rotary. But that we'll save that for another time.
It'll manifest over the course of this podcast. We'll get there. We'll figure it out.
Okay, so here we are through 2 weeks into Survivor, Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. Aubrey, we have not heard from you outside of the match game this season. What's been your take through two nights of Survivor?
I really like this season. I love seasons where there are characters first and you get to understand people, and then kind of the strategy is layered over that. Like, the balance of character development and strategy is great. I mean, it reminds me of Koh Rong a little bit, where you kind of understand who these wackos are, and so then when they start to make moves, you understand where they're coming from and what's driving them. So I love that part of the season. And can I just say, the music is so on point. Whoever is doing the music this season for Survivor, please make the soundtrack to my life, because that scene with Cole and Jessica was amazing. The music, I loved it.
It was very bizarre. You know, there's a lot of like, is Survivor really paying much attention to that stuff anymore? Is, you know, the classic days of Survivor, is that out the window? Are we not really, you know, we're staying in Fiji? Are we just sticking with the same soundtrack? But I had never heard that awkward, like, sort of quasi-ukulele kind of thing that was going on underneath the Cole and Jessica scene. That was unique to this episode, I believe. I think that's an original piece of music.
Did Sonia Christopher score that?
Yes. Sonia is active again. Sonia is all the way back in on Survivor.
Well, you know, in terms of the sound design of Survivor, that I did have one thing I wanted to bring up to you, Josh, that I thought that this was very interesting. I didn't hear anybody call it out. I would have thought that that I would have seen it somewhere on social media in the last couple of days. But this is something that, did you notice that Patrick did an impression of an Australian person, which was not very impressive, but what was impressive was the added stinger from the sound design. Listen to this.
Look at my Australian accent. You want to get some shrimp on a barbie with me?
Woo!
Josh,
didgeridoo.
Yes. You're
wow.
The only person that I can go to for a didgeridoo reference. And there it was. And I believe it might have been the same one that they use in all of the Survivor, the Australian Outback stingers.
Look at my Australian accent. You want to get some shrimp on a barbie with me?
Not sure if Marilyn Mad Dog Hershey played the didgeridoo.
I was just going to say, oh, well, we know that she does play the didgeridoo, but is she part of David Vanacore's team? That is TBD. I'm going to have to do some digging into that.
I love it. A throwback to season two.
Yes. Number two. Season number two.
With the didgeridoo.
Potentially played
by Marilyn Mad Dog Hershey. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Easy. So easy. At all. Easy. The slippery
it all comes
slope.
Together.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Slippery highway. Okay.
Oh,
so, all right. So, Aubrey, you know, I had rewatched the episode this morning before we came on to do this, and I was noticing the number of different power couples and talk of power couples that were in this season so far. And I know that you are rather infamous for your various different power couple partners that you've had over the course of your Survivor career. Have you noticed that this is a change in the way people are approaching Survivor, of trying to pair up with a buddy?
It's a change, but I think people are seeing the value in having that one strategic partner that you can really tell everything to. That it's kind of like you go into your therapy session, you take care of all your strategy, and you go out and mingle with everyone else. But I also think it's kind of a risk. I'm looking at the players like Allie or even Alan, now that he's kind of pulled it together, who are connected to these couples, but they're not fully in them. And I kind of like the position these people could be in.
You think that maybe the pendulum has swung so far to everybody's couple that maybe the real power player is going to be the person who does not couple up.
Yeah, I think that could definitely be the case. Like, I'm loving how Allie is playing. She has an ability to make people feel comfortable who don't seem to be comfortable with the rest of the tribe. Like, loving the work she's doing with Lauren. She did great work with Simone. She knows what she has to do. So I think she's in a really, really good spot. I just get worried with the couples that they get blinded by their coupledom. And I think Chrissy and Ben are playing well, but Chrissy sees that Ben is going to be charming and maybe she's not, but what's that going to be like sitting at the end? So I think these people right on the fringe are onto something.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, Josh, do you feel like that maybe the real key to all of this coupledom that's going on in Survivor might be sort of like the approach that Sarah had? And Aubrey, tell me if this is not how you saw it in Game Changers. But Sarah was like just making everybody think that she was in a couple with them, but she had multiple couples going on. And that might be a little bit of what Allie is working on here early on in the season.
Well, I think that's even what it seems like Chrissy is actually doing, where like she's looking at Ben Driebergen as the person that she wants to actually move forward in the game with and actually trust and actually confide in. But you see her having those conversations with everybody else on the beach, except for maybe Ashley. I don't know how much she's talking to Ashley about that, but you see that with that great scene where she's at the well with JP, where she's saying maybe he's just not bright enough to be my partner out here. But in terms of their actual conversation that they're having, she's straight up pitching him on like no one would see us coming. And she says something fairly similar to Alan as well. So I think that Chrissy's kind of playing that same game that you're describing that Allie is playing. And that seems to me similar. I would love to get your take on this, Aubrey. Like, does that feel to you the way that Officer Sarah played Game Changers?
Yeah. When I rewatched the episode too, and I had like Sarah vibes coming off of seeing the game structured, not as two tribes off the bat, but people that were naturally gravitating to each other and the people kind of orbiting around, seeing like, oh, is this the sun I want to orbit around or do I want to pick another one? It totally felt very Sarah-esque.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Ben and Chrissy, too, that Josh brought up, what's going on over there. Have you been impressed with Chrissy and sort of the transformation that she had made from where she was after one night of the show to where she ended up at the end of this week?
She's doing great.
Yeah, she really got her feet under her. I was impressed, and I could totally relate to that feeling of not knowing, like, oh my gosh, I'm here. What do I do? And she knew she had to pull it together. And she has. She looks like she's integrating just fine. She's kind of found that sweet spot. So I feel good for Chrissy right now. My one concern would be how she was kind of just going through people very analytically. Like JP, he's just not smart. Like, she's got to remember to go with the flow a little bit as this continues and not try to just like achieve, do this, do that. Cause I found sometimes I was almost over strategizing and that can turn people off in subtle micro ways you don't even realize.
Ben has not gotten a lot of the discussion about him going on so far to this point, but I actually think that he may emerge as sort of like the MVP of this season as far as TV is concerned. I know that Ryan has really monopolized a lot of the confessional, but to me, I think that Ben feels like a very old school Survivor character where he's able to, you know, he's playing a good game, but he's also able to deliver the quip in confessional in a very like folksy way. And he just feels like a very unique character to me. Aubrey, are you feeling it with Ben?
I absolutely love Ben. He might be at the top of my list. Like, he's not too hot right now, but he's got, you can see when he talks, like that twinkle in his eye, like there's so much more there and he's going to bring the game and bring the humor when he needs to do it. I love him.
Yeah. I remember talking to Dr. Mike in the preseason, and Dr. Mike was talking about how he thought that the guy with the tattoos talking about Ben was the biggest threat out there. And I hadn't talked to Ben at that point yet. A couple of people later, I do finally get to sit across from him. And I remember feeling really drawn in by Ben really quickly. Like, there's more going on there than meets the eye, maybe, where he does have that kind of Keith Nail aesthetic, where that's maybe what you're thinking you're going to be getting out of Ben. Mm-hmm. But this guy, like, he seems like he's really tuned into Survivor, seems like he's really prepared to play a really even game, seems to understand, you know, the numbers that are involved and where you need to align yourself strategically to move move forward. And watching him at that first tribal council, which we didn't really get to see a ton of Ben in the episode, but I remember that night very vividly when Alan was losing his mind, and that was going on for like a solid hour, and Ben was one of the few calming influences in that tribe. Mm-hmm. He kept it together. He kept trying to get the entire conversation like away from Alan's just like circular rhetoric and really try to ground it back into reality without, you know, causing any further conflict and trying to get everybody just on the same page of we've got to, you know, get through this vote and then we got to get back to basics and we just got to move on. I remember really being impressed with Ben that night. And so to see him and Chrissy linking up, and Chrissy is another person who I was very impressed with in terms of her intelligence, her awareness of the game, her fandom for the game, all of that good stuff. The two of them teaming up together feels like a really potentially dangerous, lethal combination for other people to be going up against. So if they can keep that under wraps, and if, you know, numbers break out on their side where like the heroes don't end up losing the next however many, you know, challenges before a swap or the merge or whatever. And even in that case, we've seen twosomes from decimated tribes do really well on Survivor. So potentially even in that case, I would be very worried about these two if I was playing the game against them. I think that they've got potential to go really deep together.
Well, Josh, definitely. Going back to your interview with Jeff Probst this week that you did on The Hollywood Reporter, Jeff Probst talked about how that he would approach the game in the same way that Ryan and Devin have, where he would find somebody that complemented his weaknesses. Now, I don't know how he could even find somebody that having so few weaknesses. I don't even know what kind of person.
Jeff Probst has no weaknesses.
Yes, I don't even know who he would come up
only
with.
Only strengths.
Right? But yes. Ryan and Devin, that they are, you know, a nice pairing because that they are like there's like a yin and a yang to them, where Ryan has whatever sort of like social issues that he might have. Devin is sort of a great compliment for that. But I think it's been an underreported story that Ben and Chrissy, I think, have that same similar sort of dynamic where we're talking about Chrissy, that she might be over analytical. And now here's Ben, not to say that he's not analytical, but I think that that is another pair which really complements each other well.
He's really personable. He's super, super charismatic, and just somebody that you like. You want to talk to that guy because he seems like a ton of fun. And not to say that Chrissy doesn't have that too. Chrissy definitely has that as well. But as far as I could glean, that felt like that could be Ben's superpower. Is just that he's somebody that you would want to keep around because he's going to keep you having a good time. He's going to be very useful in challenges and around camp. So yeah, I do think that he has a lot that he's bringing to the table on his side of this partnership as well. And I do think that that kind of that Ryan and Devin dynamic that you're talking about, how it's a little bit of, you know, it's kind of an odd couple of sorts. I think that that exists here in the Ben and Chrissy relationship too. And that's, I feel like that's always a good thing to bring to a Survivor partnership, especially helps you with camouflage. That can't be a bad thing. Yeah, I'm high on this couple. I like them a lot. I'm a big fan. I think that Ben and Chrissy have a lot of potential.
Aubrey, of your various different alliance partners in the couples that you've been in Survivor, who was the person that you felt like best complimented you? Was it Sydney?
Yeah, I think there was something with Sydney where we were able to speak the same language. So I've been thinking a lot about this pairing stuff we're talking about. Do you choose someone who's opposite? Do you choose someone who's similar? And I think the sweet spot is finding someone who perception-wise looks like they're different than you, but when it comes to actually having conversations, they're similar to you. So I don't really know that Ryan and Devin are as different as we think, or Ben and Chrissy. There's obviously something that we don't see inside them that's similar enough that they feel connected. But from the outside, they look like they're completely different. And I think that's kind of the key. It's all about perception. And I think that Devin, for instance, that kid is smart. Like the way he was, I heard you talking about this, Rob, like smiling around other people. And then he's with Ryan. He's like, I can be my true self with you. That tells me that Devin knows when to have certain faces for different people. And he's super smart, but we're not going to categorize it like, oh, he's a nerd kind of way. But It's good because it doesn't look like he would be that type of person with that brain, but he has it.
In terms of then making that bond with somebody, Aubrey, like, do you approach it? Like, is it something that's just unspoken, or do you talk about like, hey, I feel like that you really compliment the things that I can't do well. And then I also can, you know, the things that people might perceive about you that are weaknesses, that those are my strengths, or is it just left unsaid?
See, that's the thing. Everyone thinks I'm a brainy overthinker, and I am in a lot of ways, but that is something that's left unsaid. Like, the way I found the people I could work with in my first season was I would sit with them when it was quiet and see who I was most comfortable with. And you can tell, like, I mean, you know how they say, like, you go to a high school dance and like hormones are raging, like you're in Survivor. Whoa. And you're sitting around camp and paranoia is raging, and you can tell. Wow. Who you feel comfortable with and who you don't. It's unspoken, and you take what you can get, and then you develop the relationship from there, and you see if it can be strategic too.
How much of that is for you, Aubrey, born from like the Ponderosa experience? Like, do those connections for you, did that like start for you in the pregame, did you feel, or would that all change once you were out there on the beach together?
I would say some of them started in the pregame. Like, I vividly remember Sydney sitting in pregame, and she would have a book and she wouldn't move for literally 8 hours, not even to go to the bathroom, to do nothing. And I remember thinking to myself, this girl is really stable. And then Joe would be like getting up and getting antsy. And I'm like, I understand why he's antsy. I get this guy. I'm good. So it starts in the pregame, but then you can measure it on the beach.
See, I've never sat in silence with anybody, so I don't know who I have that kind of relationship with.
You would just be like Patrick picking up crabs and hooting and hollering in the night.
Oh,
and
my
just
gosh.
Being a total lunatic.
Yes. Yes.
The wild banshee of podcasting.
Yeah. I love that guy. I don't think he's that bad.
In what way? As a player, or you feel like he's a fun guy?
I feel like he's a fun guy and I'm rooting for him. I kind of felt bad for him. Like, this guy's great. I like all these people, even if you could say they're not playing the best. I liked him and I liked Lauren equally as much. She reminds me of any woman from New England who's like born in New England and doing their New England thing. She's like the stoic, quiet, just like do your work kind of thing. It's like polar opposites. And that shot of them next to each other is like a Norman Rockwell painting. I'm obsessed.
It's pretty good. I'm thrilled that like the show is like finally, maybe not fully revealing the Patrick that I got a chance to meet, because so far, like, we're not catching any whiffs of the Patrick and Allie thing, which is a little weird to me. But at least as far as Patrick is concerned, like in the Hustlers chapter of First One Out, like, I really wanted to kick that off with just like a really clear picture of this like class clown that I got to meet in the pregame. And he is such a doof. Like, he is such a goofy, doofy dude, and it's really showing on the show right now, I think, because he just can't rein that stuff in. Lauren has this great takedown of Patrick in those preseason conversations where she says, I don't know which one he is, Beavis or Butthead, and like, it's kind of mean, but there's something there where he feels like a cartoon character brought to life. There's just like a little bit of a larger than life slapstick quality to Patrick that we got to see a lot of this week.
Over on the Healers tribe, we got to see a lot of Joe and his hunt for the idol, which ultimately resulted in him bringing Cole in and then finding the idol for himself. Now, Aubrey, back in Second Chances, that you spent a lot of time with Tony, who Joe is being compared to. Do you think that that is a fair comparison?
Oh, totally. The like paranoia and the scrambly level. I remember thinking when he was saying, I need them all to leave camp. I'm like, all right. And I started counting. He's like, 3, 2, 1, he's going to run. And he went and he ran. Yeah, he's very much like Tony, but he's not as seasoned as Tony, obviously. The one thing that I love Joe, I think he's hilarious. I love his enthusiasm. And I liked that he likes Dr. Mike, even though he's his enemy. But I want him to be in that headspace where he's like, oh, Mike's my number one enemy, but I need to work with him. Like, Tony would have said, I need to work with this guy. Nobody's really picked him up, but Joe sees things, but he's not like following through with them, if that makes sense. But also, I want to say about that idol, in all fairness, I searched for hours under the raft for the idol, and people were making fun of him that he thought that was the raft on the map. I would have thought the same thing. So yeah, just saying.
It looked raft-like.
Yeah. So raft-like.
Well, I would say that I could definitely see that, but then it seemed like that 5 feet from the raft in the ocean, I feel like that the idol probably is not going to be in the ocean.
Oh, I totally would have thought that too. You're so delirious at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was searching in the water like that. Wasn't there one in Cagayan in the water that LJ found? It could happen.
Yes. I guess that is fair. That is fair. But I think that was part of, you know, in some sort of like a rock formation that was led to in the ocean, not just in the open sea.
Tony found the idol in a body of water as well. Idols have been hidden in water before, but I do think like it would be, that clue would be hard to divine if it is a raft. It's like, well, the raft has been moving around a lot, so 5 feet from the raft, where?
Yes.
I would be very confused by that. I would need a beautiful, brilliant mountain man like Cole Meadors to come in and save my hide on this one as well. We could all stand to have a little bit of a coal in our lives.
And
I
too, not necessarily a hidden immunity idol, but I did search for a key to a treasure chest in the wrong place for quite some time in Survivor All Stars, which, you know,
you didn't have to bring that up. No one was going to remember, man.
Look, Josh, I'm going to point out my own flaws and faults before. Right. So I'm going to beat the guy into the comment section who probably already posted about
it. Got it. Dan Bueno is on it. He's already on it.
Yeah. The wonderful Dan Bueno.
The great Dan Bueno.
Wouldn't it be great if these idols started to have like GPS beacons on them? Like, what is that thing people do called like geocaching? Or I can't say it.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be amazing if it was just like, it's a square because this is where the beacon is and it is in the water, Joe. And then you have to find the signal, like changing the way the game is played. I don't know. That just popped into my head. It'd be hilarious.
That'd be crazy. Like if you were like, now you were looking for like the hidden sonar device. Like imagine just being on a beach.
The hidden sonar device.
The sonar Christopher. So imagine like you are now on a Survivor beach and like you have like found like a device in the ground and this is part of the game. Like now Survivor is starting to become like Lost. The loop is really closing. Like you're finding hatches in the ground. Richard Hatches.
Or then you find Ty. What if the clue is you find Ty? And then Ty is the key to the next part of the idol.
I feel like it would make more sense if Tony was buried somewhere out there in one of his spy bunkers. Like I feel, and I would believe that, you know, Tony has like stayed out in Fiji ever since he got voted out. Like I would buy that narrative in a second.
That beach is totally cursed. Like I'm gonna tell you, like watching Joe as he was wherever he was finding the idol. And then there's one point he was digging by the well and this like fuzzy little ball that's like a seed from a tree like popped out of the ground. It was so weird for me. I knew like exactly where they were. It was freaking me out. The curse of Tony is everywhere.
What beach are they on? They're on your beach from Game Changers?
It's the original Mana, the original cursed Mana tribe beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the curse of the number two boot in Game Changers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Boom.
Oh my God, Tony's a number two as well. Who knew?
Bring it all back.
Makes sense.
2-2-2. Brings it all back. 666.
Aubrey, is it odd to watch Survivor playing out in like your old stomping grounds right now? Like, what's that experience like for you to be like seeing the game played not just in Fiji again, but like the exact same places that you were in Fiji?
So this happened to me in Second Chances because they swapped Koh Rong and Second Chances. So I had the same experience when I was watching 31. It is the strangest feeling. Like I will literally be watching the TV and I will say, oh, don't go behind that tree. Bad things happen there. That's where this conversation happened. This is where Sandra decided this and you got closed out. It's such a mind screw. It's very bizarre because you get kind of like emotionally put right back in that place you were, especially if you're someone like me who I have very vivid memories of place and where things were, kind of like a map in my head when I recall things from Survivor. So, oh my gosh, it's really weird. It's a little, sometimes I will hold on the episode and watch the next morning if I'm not emotionally in the place to watch it at that given moment. It's intense.
Hot soap.
It's intense.
You know, you don't want to touch it.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's like, do you have memories where you remember exactly where you were and this happened? It's like, you'd probably be freaked out if you went into your third grade classroom and you had like, you peed your pants in class.
How did you know? You have the intel. You have the inside scoop.
Yeah.
You went back and revisited that. Aubrey, were you impressed with the lobster that JP caught this week?
I was so impressed with that. Those fishing spears are awful. Like, Malcolm kept breaking them off. He was getting so frustrated. Yeah, JP is just solid. Like, he's quiet. He does his job. Gets a lobster. It was impressive. It's like they were at Cousin's Maine Lobster, where I'm now working. So,
yes. That's what I would ask you, as our resident lobster expert.
Yes. So I started as the director of social media and digital marketing for Cousin's Maine Lobster. They were on Shark Tank. If anybody's a Shark Tank fan, we have a storefront in West Hollywood. We have trucks all over the country. So you should follow us on social media at CM Lobster. I'm doing everything and I'm having a blast. It's so fun. It's reality TV. It's New England. It's social media. Couldn't be happier.
Have you connected with Zoe Xanadakis yet?
No, I totally should.
Yeah.
Why not? Happen. This is the team up we've all been waiting for our entire lives without even knowing it. Aubrey Bracco meets Zoe Xanadakis. A to Z, lobster
She's
ladies.
She's not afraid to work hard or play hard. So that's a good person to contact. Yes. So Aubrey, in terms of JP, I feel like that he is somebody that has taken a lot of flack in terms of the reaction from the overall Survivor community. Do you have any strong feelings about JP one way or the other?
What can you just fill me in? Like, what's wrong with him? What is he? Why is he angering people? I feel like he's very chill.
Yeah. Too chill, maybe. Is that an issue?
Yeah, he's too chill. But I'm not going to, as someone who is incredibly paranoid when I play Survivor and has dreams out there in which I don't know if I am sleeping or idol searching in the middle of the night because I'm so paranoid. I kind of admire JP's cool under pressure. Yeah, I wish he would play though and be a little bit more aware. He said something this week of how he just doesn't like drama. And I think that can be a good quality. But if you don't like drama, you should translate that in Survivor to being kind of a chaos manager and doing something with that skill. And he's kind of sitting back a little bit.
Sounds like a job title.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were the chaos cast manager earlier this week, Rob.
Which was, no easy feat. That's right. So in terms of JP, though, you know, he is thinking outside the box on a lot of things that he had, I thought, a pretty original thought about alliances this week and the perception of him being in a power couple with Ashley. Here's JP.
I don't see ourselves as a power couple at all. We're not dating, we're not hooking up, we're not doing any of that type of stuff. I mean, if we're a power couple, I mean, might as well be hooking up and being a couple, you know what I mean? Might as well take advantage of everything.
I mean, Josh, that's a good point. I mean, if you're going to be in a power couple with everybody and people think you're going to be in a power couple, you might as well hook up with that person because then you're not taking advantage of the fact that people already think you're in a power couple.
I think that JP genuinely thinks that when he is being asked if he is in a power couple with Ashley, I'm not kidding. I genuinely think that he thinks that he's being asked if he's in a relationship with Ashley. That was the impression that I got from hearing him field those questions at that first tribal council. None of that stuff made it to air. I think that he really believes that the concept of the power couple on Survivor is of only like the Boston Rob and Amber mold, that it is truly a romantic partnership on the show. So maybe that helps explain what he's talking about there a little bit more and things like that.
Yeah, well, that makes some sense. I mean, Aubrey, I mean, if people are going to accuse you of being a couple with somebody, then why not just get together with them?
Joe could have been my Hugh Hefner. Yeah, I never knew. Just never knew. Never knew.
God forbid. Oh, no.
The late, great Hugh Hefner.
I have to say, like, I think the casting on this season is really impressive. Like, I'm watching it, and JP was clearly meant to be on a tribe with an Alan, and Lauren was like tailor-made to be Patrick's nemesis. Like, it's just so good. Like, you can feel like people are, it's like that game Perfection. People are like slowly popping into their spaces and then they'll get there and then it's going to pop and the whole thing's going to blow up after enough time and people are hungry enough. It's so good.
I think that was our first really great patented Aubrey Bracco analogy that we got today, Josh.
Ryan has nothing
on
me.
It was great.
Yeah. Sorry, bud.
I, th- thought that the sad birthday party thing at Tribal, like, you were really reaching there, Ulrich. Like, I felt like that was a reach.
We've bonded so well together, and I feel like it's a birthday party that your mom kind of makes your go-to, right? And you don't like the kid whose birthday party it is.
I don't get it. Josh, Rob, can you please explain to me? But I've had a lot of, like, blanks that I've shot in the analogy world. You can ask Ko Rong, but, like, somebody please break it down for me. I don't understand still.
But, I mean, I get that, like, it's fun to speak in analogy and fun to speak in metaphor, and that stuff often does make it onto the show, so it behooves you to speak those ways if you can, but not everything has to be compared to something else. Like, the sad birthday party, like, that's not going to land. You know, birthdays are happy. It's like the one thing that we still have that's still genuinely, truly happy. No one can relate to that,
Ryan.
I'm sorry.
It just goes to show you how well he's doing, because if Patrick said that same exact thing, he would have gotten, like, the idiot music underneath that. And everybody was like, what are you talking about?
Immediately. Yeah, vote it out. Vote it out for that. Like, okay, Tribal is live, and you have changed our collective opinion.
You have
to
be careful with those analogies, though, because I get the feedback after Ko Rong that people get irritated listening to me.
The players or the audience?
No, players in Tribal Council. You got to be careful. And I also think it has something to do with the fact that when people know that Jeff is going to come to you for an answer and you have something creative or quirky or quippy, I mean, especially in Game Changers, everyone's thinking, all these people are like, airtime, airtime. So you kind of can become a threat if your analogy game's too strong. Just saying, you reserve that for the Oregon Trail when you're crying alone in a confessional.
Smart. Tribal Council's tough. I got to imagine, because, like, you do want to give Jeff something to work with. You want to give him an actual answer to his question. You don't want it to be too informative to tip off anybody that you're around or to isolate anybody that you're around. But it also has to have substance, and it should probably be pretty funny. But now you're saying that if it's too funny, that's a threat? That's difficult.
It is.
That's
tough.
All of that.
It's really
tough. What a tightrope.
You don't want to give your game away, and that's why I always spoke like that, is I didn't want to give my game away, but then people didn't see my game and I was too cagey. So it's almost like you just got to go in and do your best, because you could go crazy overthinking tribal answers.
Right. Nobody ever said that Survivor was not completely damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, totally.
Nothing works.
Aubrey, in terms of Alan, who we haven't spoken of really yet today, you famously played with a pro athlete in Ko Rong. Did you have any thoughts about Alan Ball through 2 weeks of Survivor?
So I'm very encouraged that it seems like he's calmed down a little bit, because in all his preseason stuff, he seems like a very amiable guy. There's something very charismatic about him. I think there's a fun part of him, but I also think he comes to the game with, like, so much energy that he has to constantly, like, modulate himself. And I have high hopes for Alan, but there are certain things about professional athletes I've played with too that I've started to see, is that they come in here with this energy. If they are losing, that's when they're the most dangerous, because they are able to switch into this mode of, I'm going to take you all out. I think Alan would be a huge threat if he can somehow make the merge. That guy's a huge threat. Because I remember Brad Culpepper, when he was losing, I said, guys, you have to vote him out now, because he's going to get angry and he's going to win everything. And then he did. Alan, I don't know. Alan could be kind of a snake in the grass waiting, except people have to kind of feed into his big personality when he's angry, because the way to piss off Alan right now is to not react to his anger, in my opinion. Scott got incredibly mad when I didn't react that he poured water on the fire. So he's a hot ticket. I don't know. He could go either way.
So when you talk about that, you have to watch out for Alan after the merge, you just feel like that he could potentially go on a run? Or do you feel like that he would be somebody who could be emerge as a strategic threat?
I think both. I think we don't know what to see from Alan right now. I think all we've seen is the paranoia getting the better of him at the beginning of the game. And I think that happens to more people than we're aware of. I think we just saw it with Alan.
Aubrey, and Dr. Mike, we haven't touched on too much yet today, that he feels like somebody who would have been at home in the Brains tribe with you guys back in Survivor Ko Rong. Here he was, Joe was calling him out as them being the only people who did not fit in some sort of low-key beauty tribe. Do you like Dr. Mike?
I love Dr. Mike. I think he's incredibly sweet. And I think it's really good that even Joe, who sees him as an enemy, has a soft spot for Mike, which was cool. But I want to ask you guys, what did you think about Desi with it, Miss Virginia? And I have high hopes for her. I so wanted more about that. I got a little worried when they brought that up. Was that just me, or do you guys think it was because they wanted to show like the beauty brain tribe dynamic?
Well, there just isn't a Desi story yet. That does bother me as somebody who was pretty high on Desi going into the season. Like I feel like she's got a lot of potential to get pretty deep and to do some damage. But for me, like, it is just held back by the fact that we really don't know anything about her other than that as a quick aside. And that was really just meant to be, you know, kind of a building block in the greater scene of what was going on with Joe and Joe's views of the social dynamics at the Healers tribe and his views of Mike specifically before he goes off on his, his Tony-like idol chase. So there's just not a lot going on with Desi this week.
Right.
Not a ton going on with Rourke either, both of whom are people who I think are incredibly intelligent and have a lot of potential as players. Lots going on with Nurse Jessica. I love Nurse Jessica. There's this whole showmance with Cole. This is the power couple that JP could get behind.
Totally.
But now, are these things just non-starters for you guys that we're not seeing a lot of what's going on at the Healers tribe outside of Joe and Mike too much? Because Aubrey, back in Koh Rong, you know, you had a group like the Beauty tribe, and we saw like what was going on with Ty and the Idol. But ultimately, Michelle's going to win the season, even though we're not seeing that much of what's going on with her or with Nick, really in the early days of the game. Are you guys just feeling like that it's totally a bad sign for somebody like Desi or Rourke because we don't see them that much?
I don't think it's like you're totally dead in the water or anything like that, but I don't like it as a sign. Yeah, I think it's a troubling sign for me.
I think it speaks to that this group will not go to a tribal council maybe before we get to a swap, and those stories may develop. But if she's keeping her nose clean in the first couple of days of the game, like, I'm not necessarily so down on this like I feel like some other people have been.
No, I think that she could emerge as this. It's kind of like the person in waiting who comes out and becomes a threat. Like, that's definitely a narrative. But I do think that in Koh Rong, we saw the beauty girls in the first episode sitting there weaving palm fronds, and they made a bond that was made very clear. So I just want to know who else is making bonds on the Healers tribe. Like, who's working with Mike? Who's saying, oh, Mike is a great person for me to team up with and go deep. Like, I wish we could see a little more of that. Doesn't mean it's not happening. Like, I trust that it is, but I'm not sure. I'm kind of 50-50 on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been 2 hours of the show. And remember, like, often there's a 90-minute premiere. So, I mean, if we got, like, two other Desi confessionals that would have been in the 90-minute version of the episode that wasn't, like, I feel like that would really change the way that we're looking at everything. So it's just such a small sample size of 2 hours.
It
and
it
also, it's a three-tribe season, so we got to cut between all the different seasons. So, I just think it's a little bit of premature speculation on everybody's part.
Oh, definitely.
That's all that we do. That's why we're here. It's nothing but premature speculation.
Why can't we have live feeds? Like, I don't need to watch Big Brother the same place in a house. Can't we have it for this? That would be so great.
That's what Taryn wants. Taryn said the exact same thing
when we talked on the Taryn show.
Yeah. Aubrey, now, I had the pleasure of getting to see you in person the other night when we did the first ever Survivor match game. Did that meet up to what your expectations were of what the Survivor match game was, or were you totally going in not even knowing what to expect?
I didn't quite know what to expect. I mean, there was an interesting mix of people up there. You had kind of like a brain tribe and then Nick. So I don't know. I thought we were going to bring more to the table. I was a little disappointed. I felt like we ended up having like a whole team of pre-mergers for the match game. What is it? Matt Singh? We would have been the Matt Singh tribe of
Match Singh.
Survivor match game for sure.
Josh, I don't know if you listened to the match game
yet,
a small spoiler. Richard Hatch had more matches in Survivor All-Stars than we had in the actual match game with the Survivors.
That's a decent amount of matches.
He got more in than we did. That's uncomfortable.
My goodness.
Wow, we really do have a theme to this podcast. Wow.
Those questions, though, Rob, were good. I love the one with Sandra and the ice cream. That was great. Yeah.
You guys had some good answers. You know, I honestly, to talk match game for a second, I thought that the questions were going to be too easy. I really thought that everything was going to be, oh, this is so obvious. This is so obvious. And it turned out to not be the case. The question was that I had asked was that Neil Gottlieb just got into business with the queen, Sandra Diaz. As Twine on a new ice cream flavor called blank. I thought I would have said if I was on the panel, Outback. Yeah.
Outback.
Wait, I don't get it.
She
hold
does
on,
love Outback.
That's what she loves. That's her favorite.
She loves the Outback.
Oh, like the Outback Steakhouse. Of course.
Yeah.
Wow, what a gross flavor of ice cream that would be. Just like steak bits.
Ew,
and like blooming onion all blended together with a margarita and some bacon. Yeah. And I guess
you
like
guys actually
cream.
Had some very creative answers on that one. That was actually very good.
You know what it is? You have a group of overthinkers, Rob. So these people, next time you got to pair each brainy match game contestant with someone who can even them out, like the pairs in Heroes, Hustlers, HHH.
In the writing of that, Josh, though, originally I was thinking about that. To upset over losing the man crush of Josh Wiggler to Devin Pinto, Nick Majorano attempted to make a new ice cream flavor to impress Josh Wiggler. And that was what the question was at one point. I thought it was too wordy.
Yeah, well, you know. Nick's got his work cut out for him if he wants to win his way back into my heart. I'm feeling a little low on the mayo jar these days. I have to be honest with you guys. No one's listening to this, right? Like, so I could just be kind of open about it. But like, I've just been feeling like pretty down on the mayo.
Something
these
that
days.
We're not down on. Last week, Josh, you said this season in the Wiggle Room, you invited the listeners to challenge you to the first ever wand off competition, and so each week,
yes,
you ask people to send in their submissions to take on Wanda every week in some sort of a creative songwriting competition, and the listeners did respond.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yay!
So people are stepping up. People are ready to take on Miss Shirk, Queen Shirk. All right. Well, listen, you know, Wanda has been on hiatus for a little while, so she felt like everybody kind of is entering this in as close to even keel as humanly possible since she took a full season off, so maybe she's like a little bit slower to start. But in reality, she's Wanda, so clearly she's a star, and everything that she is going to produce is going to be fantastic. So I'm really not worried for Wanda ever losing a Wanda-off. I feel pretty secure that Wanda is going to be able to hang on to the title
all
season long.
Are Aubrey and I supposed to give our thoughts and judge, or are you worried that we're going to color the vote?
No, I think we should. I would love to participate in that as well. I think that we should certainly be making our observations known of these wonderful musical numbers that we will then let the voters decide who wins the Wanda.
All right. Oh, this is so exciting.
All right. Wandoff submission number one. This comes from one of our listeners, Eliza, not the woman from Survivor Vanuatu who yells at RHAP live shows. This is a woman who sent us a song. And to my knowledge, I believe this is an original song. Tell me if this is, again, as Akiva Winokur is fond of saying, that I hate music, so I don't know too much. But I believe this is an original, so tell me if it's not. But here is our entry from Eliza.
There's no place to hide on a six-person tribe when someone's got to go. And even harder to rally when Patrick and Allie knew each other from before the show. What's a girl to do when her puzzle skills fall through? Well, she tried to hustle like the name suggests. We can't all be Russell. You did your best and Simone. You're not the only one. Don't be lonely now, your game is done. Simone, there are lots of people who have been voted out second just like you. 34 to be exact. Don't focus on the things you lack, 'cause you're part of the gang now, so congrats are hearty. Sorry you're the victim of this sad birthday party.
Okay.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Wow. That's commitment.
I liked the part where Eliza cloned herself and there were now two Elizas. I thought that was great. Yes.
Now, that's an original song, right? That is not a parody? Okay.
It feels original to me. Yeah. I mean, I don't hate music, but I did not recognize it as I didn't recognize whatever it was ripping, if that is what was happening. I think this was an original ripper itself.
I'm impressed.
All right, you were impressed, Aubrey.
That was great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always impressed by people who can write their own music like that. So Eliza, you're doing something right.
You feel good about Eliza in the wand off.
Both of you Elizas. Both Eliza. Yeah, the two Elizas, and not Eliza Orlin. She's the third Eliza in this equation.
All right. Our second entry in the wand off comes from one of our listeners, Justin from Atlanta. And Josh, normally that Wanda does not have to take on any rap music, but Justin has a fresh beat to drop on us.
Simone Nguyen in the house. I don't like to go camping. Where's the air conditioning? Patrick Bolton, you look like a fool. Lauren doesn't like you. Devin only smiles when he looks at Ryan. This is my first time on an island. I don't want to be the second boot. What do? I think I have to take a poo. It's getting hotter, I don't think that I'll survive. They call me a hustler, but I might be on the wrong tribe. My stomach is turning and turning. Where do I go to relieve myself? I don't want to use the ocean. Look where you made me poo. Look where you made me poo. Look where you just made me poo. Look where you just made me poo.
All right, now that's 60 seconds, Josh.
Oh, my.
Aubrey, you're speechless.
It's
very creative. I'm just impressed by both of you in different ways.
Yes. Oh, my.
Wow.
So I actually got confused.
Wow. Figs and
that
Taylor
was a different
Swift.
Entry
oh
than I thought it was. It was a different one. So I apologize about that. That was Justin.
Wow.
That was Justin. It was actually
great job.
It was
Justin.
Actually Jason who sent us this rap. Let me play that one for you. Here is Jason.
Oh no.
In the depths of the sea, she took a crap, some Moni's aqua dump, put her head up on the block. Took a dump in the sea and it messed up her game. Fiji is a spot where they wrote down her name. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me to Ponderosa with him, where Katrina Ratke is gonna teach her how to swim. Simone ain't holding nothing back. Voted for the redhead and she won't take it back. It's like that, and as a matter of fact,
rat-a-tap-tap.
'Cause I never hesitate to put a ginger on his back.
Yeah, she don't like Pat to Rick, 'cause preseason queen is gonna drop some shady shit.
Yeah, Simone has left the game.
Poop gal Simone. Poop gal Simone.
So wait, what is the chorus saying? It's just a little bit faded that I can't quite get the lyric.
Yes. Are you sure you want to know?
Yeah, I think yes. Just for our information, right, Aubrey? We need to know.
I want to know. Yeah,
I can tell you that what he is saying is "poop gal Simone" is what the line is. Just for clarification.
Wow.
Poop gal Simone.
Oh, wow.
This is so, where are these people
this
coming
was your
from
idea,
with this musical
Josh.
Talent? This is amazing.
You gotta, like, you have to believe in, like, the divine cosmic power of Survivor. Like, it is insane that Simone enters Survivor with her, like, announced, stated number one fear
number
on the
fear.
Board being
yeah.
number two
oh
while you're out there on the island, and then getting voted out second. Like, it's ridiculous. The Survivor God sense
yes.
of humor. It's
okay.
crazy. Wow. Right. Great job by Snoop Bob Dogg. Yeah. That was great.
Just one other one. You can't have a wand off without Shut Up Tim getting involved here.
Simone squatted alone in the middle of the sea, patiently wondering what her superpower might be. An alliance with Allie was something she hoped to take, but first in the ocean there was something she had to make. Aqua dump, aqua dump, aqua dump, it will not smell. Aqua dump, aqua dump, aqua dump, shout out to Darnell. Patrick seems to have very little brains, and the ones he got drives Lauren insane. Scared of crabs, he might get bit. Meanwhile, Simone's in the ocean, taking
up. Okay.
Oh, God.
That's Shut Up Tim.
That's
Shut
funny.
Up Tim is the bravest person on the planet, as far as I am concerned.
I love it. They're all
brave
so
traveler.
Funny.
Oh.
Josh, do you like the Presidents of the United States, the band? The
oh,
band, the band, the band, the band,
the band,
like the band.
Like, I love the
yes.
band. The band is great. Wow. Shut up, Tim. Never shut up. I don't know how this is going as a listening experience, the wand off, but as far as I'm concerned, this is the greatest thing I've ever done.
Josh, good. People the really bring their A game for you, Josh. I'm
wow.
impressed.
Well, it's really... It's not for me, Aubrey. It's for Wanda. I think that people know that if they're going to step up to the queen, they best not miss. And Wanda, of course, it would not be a wand off without Wanda contributing her own little jam for episode two. So
no,
unless you've got any others, Rob, I think without further ado, let's bring her back. Second Wanda song of the season. Let's see what she brought to us this week. Hit it, Wanda.
Wiggle Room exclusive time.
Hit it, Wanda.
First one out this season was hero Katrina Radke. Kaha, Trina Radke. Second out was Simone Wynn, whose name is not Katrina. Nah, Trina Radke. Have I lost my mind? Feels like I sang this song before one time. Or maybe it was two times. Honestly, I'm kinda rusty. So, 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 so sorry.
Man, what the crap?
Is Wanda
really?
Trying to throw the wand off?
What is going on? What the hell? Wanda, you literally sang that exact song last week. What is this?
Wow. Wanda.
Yikes. Oh, my God. Wanda, what are you doing?
Boy, Wanda really likes that song.
I'm disappointed. This is weird because, like, I'm not screening these ahead of time because I want to have, like, honest reactions to everything as I'm listening to them on the podcast. And when you started playing it, I was like, wait, did Wanda, like, send last week's
yeah.
song in by accident? Like, did we get the wrong file? And no, clearly she had just forgotten that she'd already done the paparazzi twice.
She just
now.
Wanted to go for round two. It's the theme of everything.
It's
just
round
go
three.
With it.
Yeah. Oh my God. We don't even want to talk about round three. Wow. Okay. I guess that's your Wanda.
Boy.
Shirk,
see, I didn't think Wanda could lose a wand off, but now I'm starting to feel like that. This is anybody's wand off.
I'm a little nervous. Yeah, I'm a little nervous. She went for the Calamari Takahashi again. Like, that's a bold move, I guess, but also, like, just doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel weird now. I don't like that at all.
All right. Well.
All right. Well, she's a little rusty, like she said, right? Like, so maybe next week, like, she'll be able to bring it. But as a bad second week effort, I thought
okay.
by Wanda.
All right. So now, Josh, according to your research, that I know we are up to 280 characters on Twitter, but we're still limited by four options into the Twitter poll. Do we have to vote something out before we get to the final four?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I mean, right now, I feel like I would vote out the Wanda. Like, I feel like I would I would vote out actually Wanda, but like I don't think you can lose her from the Wanda.
Okay. So of the then previous four entries, Aubrey, do you have a strong take of what we should should lose? Just to reset that, that was Eliza's original entry of Sad Birthday Party. Then we had Justin's entry of Look Where You Made Me Poo. We also had then Jason's entry of Poo Girl Simone. And then finally, Shut Up Tim with, I believe that was Dump was from the President of the United States.
Why are you making me do this? I'm going to cross out my answer peaches. As soon as I give it.
Okay.
I definitely like the first two.
Okay. So who should be eliminated from it? So you didn't like the Snoop Doggy Dog.
Oh, but I like that too because Snoop Dogg is my favorite. I'm in love with Snoop.
It's the same birthday as me.
Because I always Snoop love Bobby Drop It Dog. Like It's Hot, which is also very appropriate given the last episode.
Mm-hmm. I'm willing to put a name out there. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to target Shut Up Tim this week. I'm willing to put a vote out for Shut Up Tim. We've heard a lot of Shut Up Tim over the years. We're definitely going to hear from Shut Up Tim again this season. I know it. I feel it in my bones. Shut Up Tim is going to have another shot to get into the wand off later this season. I feel like he can handle that kind of rejection. I feel like he can handle it. Like I said, Great Shut guy. Up Tim, one of the bravest soldiers on the planet. I think he can handle it for week two of Survivor Heroes.
Is there a prize for the wand off?
I don't know. I was going to say like you could record a jam with Wanda, but I don't know that you want to do that right now. Like I don't know if that's a prize right now. No, I think it's like a no prize. Like you just get to like, you know,
prize.
You know,
yeah.
You get,
I heard the prize was that Aubrey was going to record your voicemail message for you want to the tune of Lady Gaga Paparazzi. If that's what it's something that you were so inclined to want.
Oh, whatever you want. Yeah, I'll do that. That'd be fun.
Oh, okay. Or Aubrey
Why
could
not?
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in. I'll sing terribly for anybody. I've already had a panic attack on day two, so I'll do anything. It's all good.
So you'll sing somebody's voicemail message.
Yes, okay, I will do it, and you will all cower in fear because your ears will bleed. I'm in.
Locked in.
Okay.
Locked in. That's great.
All right. Aubrey, this was very fun. Josh, do you have a tease for next week on The Wiggle Room?
A tease for next week on The Wiggle Room. Going to be tough to top Aubrey Bracco as a guest. We will have another guest coming in, though, who is a regular around these parts, somebody who I do a lot of podcasting with, about to launch, actually already have launched, the Mr. Robot podcast with this guy. Has appeared in The Wiggle Room once before. We're going to bring him back. Why don't we announce who next week's Wiggle Room guest is?
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into
the Mizarro Zone.
All right, what a tease.
All right, we're stepping into the Mizarro Zone next week as Antonio Mizarro returns to the Wiggle Room.
I'm excited.
Yes. Aubrey, if anybody has not listened to your interview that you did with Taryn Armstrong on The Taryn Show, I highly suggest that they check that out. Of course, you could listen to it in the Taryn Show podcast feed at robinsonwebsite.com/Taryn Show. I thought that was a really in-depth, interesting look at your time on Survivor and beyond.
Yeah, I want to thank Taryn again. Like, every time I've spoken about Survivor after having it for 3 years, it's been cathartic. And I really felt like Taryn was like my final trip to the therapist and I got it all out. It was really good. I think that Taryn could be like the next Dr. Phil or something, but like a cool Dr. Phil.
Oh, Dr.
Hey,
Taryn.
Okay, so here's what's going on the feed, okay?
Yeah, I think Taryn is great. So anyone wants to listen to that, get into my messed up psyche, have a party.
I'm not going to call them have not. I'm going to call them don't have yet.
Oh, my
no
gosh,
longer
Robert,
have.
Too good at this.
Yeah.
Is Dr. Phil Taryn's Mr. Robot?
Oh,
Oh my god. Aubrey, you're killing it with all sorts of stuff though. You're doing power rankings with Gordon Holmes. How is that? How is that experience? Is that fun?
It is so fun. I love Gordon. He's wonderful. It's super fun, but so here's the deal. I can be snarky and mean once I have enough information, but like I definitely think that some past survivors aren't, they won't analyze the game from a, like, this is what I'm watching on TV. They're like judging it based on their own failures. And sometimes I think we can get a little too nasty and backseat quarterbacky before we have enough info. So I'm trying to balance. Like, I know that being snarky is entertaining, but like, I'm not going to totally run anybody over yet. Like, nobody's in the middle of the road yet for me to run over. Okay. We'll make the merge and maybe I'll get real sassy.
Okay.
Then you'll get
who's winning
tech.
So far? You or Gordon?
I have to look. I think that we tied the first week, so okay. I think it's on the second week. I'm not entirely sure yet.
Okay. All right. Well, check that out every single week. Anything else you want to point people to, Aubrey?
No. Everybody come follow what I'm doing at CM Lobster, Cousins Maine Lobster. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of cool to stay in the reality show land a little bit. So having fun. Always love going to anything RHAP, supporting anything you're doing. Rob and Josh, you guys are awesome, and you're always nice enough to have me. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Also, follow Aubrey Bracco on Twitter as well, at Aubrey Bracco. And,
with no E in my first name.
Right,
thank you.
Right. Boy, has somebody recently done that?
Oh my gosh. Like
all the time?
I would say 80% of my communications, my name is spelled incorrectly.
Yeah. So what do you do? Do you have to like do the like hashtag or a Twitter search for Aubrey with an E to see like what messages people are sending you that don't get to you?
Those are the people who are going to be nasty.
Oh, the haters. They don't know me enough to know my name.
See, that's good. That's almost like a built-in shield. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a filter. Yeah.
And then like anyone who like is like a genuinely big Aubrey fan, like eventually they will figure out how your name is spelled and they will come find the real you. Don't seek that stuff out. That's not good. You'll have to, you know, go back to Taryn. You'll need one more trip to the Taryn show if you go down that robot hole.
Rob, you have the hashtag RAWB hashtag that you avoid, right?
Yes. All those people that spell it phonetically. That's right.
Yeah.
Speaking of hashtag, what's the hashtag today?
Ooh. I feel like we had a few contenders. Match Singh might work. That feels thematically appropriate.
Well, since we did have
Singh. Yes. Yeah, I like that. I like that. It really hit on everything that we talked about. Match game, the six-person tribe, singing. I think that's all encompassed in one wonderful hashtag, Match Singh.
Love it.
Yes.
And the matches.
Yes.
The matches that Richard Hatch smuggled into
perfect.
Survivor, which also fits with another theme of this episode of the Wiggle Room.
Most perfect hashtag we've ever had on the show. All right.
And anything that pays homage to Malcolm and Denise, I'm in. I love those two. They can do no wrong.
Yes.
Agreed. How's Malcolm doing? What's the Malcolm update?
Malcolm is still traveling around. I believe he was just in Fiji. He sent me a couple photos.
What?
So.
Is this a spoiler?
Wow.
What? No. He's using the ticket that we all got, two free flights to Fiji. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think he's
nice.
Traveling.
Okay. All right. Well, of course, Josh has a lot of great stuff coming up as well. I mentioned Mr. Robot. Our Game of Thrones rewatch is underway on postshowrecaps.com. If you missed it, be sure to check out our voicemail podcast with Akiva, the match game, the Angie Kant's character types, my interview with Steven, the exit interview. So much content we already did this week. Looking forward to getting back into it with Survivor Know-It-Alls Wednesday night. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Season one's hero, Katrina Radke. Katrina Radke. Second out was Simone Wynn, whose name is not Katrina. Nah, Trina Radke. Have I lost my mind? Feels like I sang this song before one time. Or maybe it was two times. Honestly, I'm kinda rusty. So sorry.